Absolutely no one appreciation.
If you don't appreciate prayer, then you.
Now I'm doubting.
You just push that, and it'll be pause. You see that button right here, bro?
Yep.
Right there.
Yep. All right. All right, if everybody would open their Bibles up to the book of Philemon. I'll be preaching from Philemon today and starting a series that, Lord willing, will finish this year. So probably 5, 6, 7, so we'll see how it all comes about. All right. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayer. Hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such as one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him. That is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord, refresh my heart in the Lord, having confidence in your obedience. I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, with your spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before the preaching of the word. Father, we come before you and we proclaim that the preaching of your word feeds your sheep. Father, we pray and as we're assembled, Father, in this way that we are worshiping you, Father, that help me declare your truth, not in the power of man, but in the strength of your spirit, Father. Guide me through your truth, Father, for your name's sake, for your glory. Father, we pray for your people that we readily receive what you would have us learn today, that we receive it not only in mind and intellect, but we receive it within our hearts. Father, we pray that as you guide your people through your Spirit, that give all wisdom how we apply your truth in this fallen world. This world that is in rebellion against you in so many ways. Father, we pray, lead us, guide us in all wisdom to proclaim your gospel, that you would be glorified in the salvation of many. Father, we come before you, we confess we love you, we need you to guide us, we need your hand over us, we need you in every way, in every part of our lives, in the life of our church, in our personal lives. Father, we pray, Lord, you've promised to be with us and you are faithful to us. Father, we thank you for that and confess you are mighty and gracious to save. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, as we consider Philemon, I'm going to go ahead we're going to do an introduction so you guys kind of get some context and understanding to Philemon, the origin of the letter, how the church was brought about, which all leads up to the giving you context. I know as my wife was teaching my kids, there's one thing that she was teaching them in punctuation, which always tickled me. She would teach them the panda eats shoots and leaves. And if you don't understand the punctuation and the context, you would think a panda is shooting somebody. No, that's not the case. That's what he does. He eats shoots and leaves. So there is real understanding that we need to go through and get in context where we are, get introduced to a book so we understand what is being put down for our good. So, as we look at Philemon, so that's kind of the why. Lay this groundwork. So the context of the letter, we can never know every detail, but that said, we should seek to know and to put together all that we can as accurately as we can, and of course, led by the Spirit of God as we go to God's Word, as He gives understanding. So finally, one thing you notice, this is a personal letter. But this is not only just a personal letter to Philemon. We'll see here that he also addresses the church in your home. So it has a dual purpose. This letter, although it's a very personal nature from Paul to Philemon, but it also is to benefit all of the church. So the church in his home is to hear this letter. So that kind of gives you an idea of the personal nature and the nature of Christianity that we are to be knit together, and this letter, although there is a particular topic in here that can be quite sensitive, is to be made known to everyone. So that shows you how in Christ we're to be knitted together. So Philemon, this letter to Philemon, and should be taken in context and understood along with Colossians. So Colossians and Philemon kind of go hand in hand together, similar to Luke and Acts. Because Philemon is in his church is in Colossae. All right. So the instructions that you receive in Colossians 3, you can almost take straight to Philemon. So that to understand the letter, and you need to put those two together. All right. And as the church in Colossae, we'll have a look at. There's particular players that are not actually mentioned or are mentioned in both that we should look at prior to going into the salutation, which is what we're going to cover today. So we're going to cover this introduction. We're going to cover this so as an introduction, understanding Philemon, and then the introduction of Paul in verses 1, 2, and 3. All right. So Paul, on his third missionary journey, that's where we think that the church in Colossae is founded. That's in modern Turkey. Remember, we have a brother who was interested in being a missionary to Turkey. So that is in modern Turkey. It's further inland from Ephesus. All right. And his missionary journey, that third missionary journey, began in Ephesus. So I want to take a look at, so from Acts 18:22 to approximately Acts 21:17, that's the outlay of Paul's third missionary journey. And if you go to Acts 19 and 8 and 10 together, so we're going to be doing a little bit of history here, putting this together. Acts. Or, excuse me, Acts 19, 8 and 10, excuse me. So, this is Paul in Ephesus. And when he had went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God, but when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So it looks as though Paul here in Ephesus, he has this setup, and this setup in the school of Tyrannus is like a missionary setup where he's sending people out from. So that's going to lead us up into Epaphras, who is the brother we believe who's planted the church in Colossae. So from Ephesians to Colossians, it's a several days journey. We're probably talking about 90 to 100 miles. So it's a good day's journey. And that whole area around Asia, to know the effectiveness of the gospel of Christ and how it transforms the hearts, souls, and minds of people and builds churches. Amen. Okay?
Amen.
All right. So from Acts 19, also go to Acts 19, 26. All right. So this is kind of give you a picture of how the gospel has gone out in Asia. This is Asia Minor, that from Turkey down to Syria and across the Black Seas to the north. Okay. Acts 26, 19, verse 26. Moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are not gods which are made with the hands. So, Paul, he's in this whole area, and he's actually raising up other men to go out as missionaries, and he's doing it from this school, Tyrannus. Okay? So that's what I believe is the origin, and I think historically that's what the church has believed, is the origin of the church of Colossae. So, Epaphras is an elder and a missionary in Colossae. And where do we find that? We can go to Colossians 4:12. All right. So we're going to be doing a lot of jumping around. So Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Now flip back to Colossians, because we're going to come back to there too. Colossians 1:7. So one of the reasons we believe that Epaphras is the one of the founding members of the church in Colossae is, if you go, I'll start at 3, that way we can kind of get all of the We give thanks. This is Colossians 3, starting up all the way up to 7. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, which you heard before the word of the Lord, word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it is also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you, since the day you heard and knew the grace. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to you, to us, your love in the Spirit. So Epaphras is giving a report of the state of church in Colossae. So therefore, when you receive that, when you see that, real quick, go to Philippians 1:23, because you'll be able to see this even more clearly. Philemon 23, excuse me. Philemon 23. That was my fault. So in the farewell, we see Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you. Okay? So he is missionary who Paul, he receives a report from Colossians, about Colossians. And then Paul pens the letter to Colossians based upon the report. And then it really appears is that both letters, Colossians and Philemon, go out at the same time. And the reason is that we see that Tychicus leaves with the letter with Onesimus, who the letter to Philemon is the brother who it's about. So it's really interesting that we can go through and see, lay out the history of what's going on here in Philemon and Colossians, and we can look back all the way back to how these people became players in all this. So God in his kindness has made known to us this truth, and we have examples in how our churches are to grow, how we're to conduct ourselves in the churches through the word of God. So it's true history, right? Living. So as he received the other thing to consider also, then in this letter, the letter to the Colossians has a general theme of the supremacy of Christ. Okay, so when we'll see that, and that's going to be one of the primary emphases in unity with Philemon towards their brother Onesimus. All right. Now, other things to consider when in the book of Philemon, this is important for us to learn as a church. It's important that we would know that there are real wrongs in the world. And in this case, they're addressing this issue of slavery. Slavery came about because of the sin nature of man. That's just what you have to face. All right. Was it different in Rome and America? Yes. But that is a real issue that exists, and the church can't be quiet on it, because God here is giving instruction. Okay. So we are to address in our culture certain issues, but we're going to see how we address it. All right. Because these problems, whatever culture we find ourselves in, are not going away. And the church needs to know and understand how we conduct ourselves primarily towards each other and our fellow saints, but also to the culture. Okay? So Paul focuses on as some themes when before we get started in the salutation. Paul focuses on brotherly reconciliation. And I think when we go through here, I think one of the things we should walk away with, that brotherly reconciliation in Christ Jesus within his church is not something that we think we should ought to do. I think it's something that we should pursue at a great cause. All right. And I think you'll all also notice that the focus doesn't fall on the slavery issue. The focus falls on Christ, and then the slavery issue is addressed through the gospel. Okay? So Paul does it in a graciously merciful way as he addresses Philemon. I think another thing that you're going to see, and if we're looking at Christ in all of the scriptures, right, we see one action of Paul that is really bears a witness to Christ in him. That Paul is willing to bear the consequences. All right? Just as Christ bore in his body the consequences of our sin, right? So we were dead in our trespasses. Christ came, he redeems his people. The ones that God has given, he brings to himself. Okay? That reconciliation, Paul has that nature, and he's willing to bear, and I think it has to do with theft, that cost for the reconciliation that should come in Christ Jesus. All right? So we see the gospel there. Also, the gospel unity in Christ exceeds our worldly positions, and it does negate them. And so when we gather as the church, slave or free man in Christ, so therefore, we're brothers, sisters in Christ, superseding all of whether or not you're the world's greatest businessman or you're a poor pauper. But together, we're unified in one great cause, Christ Jesus and his gospel. As Sam has encouraged us before, earlier in our service, that we're to go out and make disciples, right? So, we're united in Christ, saved by Christ, to go out and to make disciples, right? Boldly proclaim the gospel. All right, so let's have a look at the salutation. That's, and this is where Paul is starting to knit everything together, okay? We think, oh, yeah, oh, this, he just is, you know, you're my buddy and all that. No, it's not anything like that. Then I will say there has been commentary thinking of the nature of this as being kind of manipulative. I don't think it's manipulative at all. I think what he's doing is in brotherly true affection endearing himself to another brother. All right? This is not like, hey, remember this. I'm not calling you that, hey, you were saved because you heard the gospel from me. He's not doing it as a way of manipulation, but in unity. All right. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God. Oh, excuse me. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your home, your house. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul, a prisoner. So I'm going to let you know, he's physically a prisoner in Rome. I think everybody knows this. So the letters that Paul penned from Rome that we have here, canon, in the scriptures, are Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon. All right? So these are considered the prison epistles. Okay? So he's physically a prisoner in Rome, but as a prisoner in Rome, he's actually permitted to preach and teach. He's actually able to receive visitors and correspondence. All right. Remember, he got there by appealing. So in Acts 28, 16 and 30, we'll see this. All right, so go to Acts 28. So we, a little more history. We'll see how he was able to conduct himself in his physical imprisonment. Then we're going to get into the meat of the true imprisonment that we actually, not imprisonment, that we're bond servants to Christ. Or you could call it a blessed imprisonment. All right, Acts 28:16, verses 16, and we read verses 30 also. Now when he came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul, this is Paul, was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. All right, now go to verse 30. So then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God, teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. Okay, so now we see Paul, he's in physical imprisonment by Rome, but they've given him some liberty, and he seizes that liberty, even though he's physically imprisoned, to preach the gospel to those ones who have imprisoned him, and to bring in fellow missionaries, brothers, elders, saints, workers in Christ, to go out and send letters and encourage and exhort the churches that he had helped establish. Right? So he is, wherever you would find yourself, you're still in the service of Christ. If you're in Christ, you're still in the service of Christ, whatever the situation that you find yourself in. All right. So, he's physically, but he is a prisoner of Christ. Now, if you go to Ephesians 3:1, we'll read there that that's exactly how Paul refers to himself. So Ephesians 3:1 reads, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you." All right. So us, all of us who are in Christ, are in this way. We are bound as servants who have been bought by the blood of Christ to be serve in this way. However God has put you. In the case of Paul, he's a missionary. He's a church planner. He is serving Christ in his, where God has put him. All right? So we're bound to Christ. Philippians 1, 3 through 7. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the day until now, being confident that the very thing that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think of you all because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in defense," see this, "in my chains and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace." So wherever you find yourself, he's in chains. What are you ultimately chained to? What are you ultimately bound to? You're ultimately bound to Christ and serving him in whatever capacity that he's put you in and wherever you find yourself. All right? That's what it is. So, a bond servant to do the will of the Father. He gave the Son for you, that he would be by you by his own blood. You've been bought by his own blood. So you've been reconciled to the Father through Christ Jesus and given the Holy Spirit, that you would go out in the power of the Spirit and proclaim the gospel. So it's interesting when we go to Romans 6:19, we read, what are we? We are slaves of righteousness. What is this but the slaves of Christ Jesus to the righteousness and pursuing the things of Christ, of God, right? That's what we are. So not to continue to pound this, but When you go to Philippians 1:12, Paul directly says this. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out to the furtherance of the gospel. So, when we see things we don't understand, maybe Paul's like, man, I'm imprisoned here and I was doing so many great missionary works. He doesn't see it that way. He sees that God, as He sovereignly is in care of all of His people and providentially cares for them and gives, and His sovereign will is being executed by His people in the churches, that what He does is for the furtherance of the gospel. So that has to be our perspective also, right? Mm-hmm. All right. So Paul finds unity with in this, with Philemon in Christ, and then works it out from there. Notice that now we can go to Philemon and we see this as Paul is making this address to Philemon. And now we can kind of get the nature and start seeing how he's endearing himself to him. All right. He doesn't start with the problem, the fault, or any of the divisions or anything of that. He starts with Paul finds unity and then he endears himself to him. So when we think about this, think about Philemon. Now, he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the... Oh, I'm back there again. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. All right. So now, from where and what are they? He says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, a beloved friend and fellow laborer. So, or what are they in? In what? In Christ. So let's go see verse 9. So we're seeing here how he starts to endear himself to him. Follow this. Verse 9, I'll start at 8. Therefore, though I might be, we're in Philemon now. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. This is how he begins his appeal. He started it in his salutation and he continues it throughout the letter, right? He's now saying, so when he makes this request about Onesimus, he said, we're more unified in Christ than anything. Right? We are super, super unified here. So think about it in this way. So Paul's an aged prisoner, and he's saying, okay, that's what you are. You're a prisoner of Christ. I'm a prisoner of Christ. And he might also be aged too, I don't know. When he comes to the request is easy, although it's a very difficult subject. See what I'm saying? All right. So how does this work? So therefore, we are in Christ. We think about it like that. So in Christ, we're of one mind. So Paul, making the request, be of one mind with me, of one affection with me, towards Onesimus. That's basically the request. So we're of one mind, we're in Christ Jesus, let's be of one mind together in this. And how do we know that? And for what cause? Because, so be one affection towards one another in regards to Onesimus, and he is a man like us now, right? So now he's tied, he's gone from Paul, a prisoner of Christ, Philemon, a prisoner of Christ, and guess who else is a prisoner of Christ? Onesimus. So put off this worldly thing to seek the greater thing, that we would be unified in Christ Jesus. That's what he's getting at. So, as a note, we should take note when we read things like this in the Word of God, that we would be wise in how we approach our fellow saints. Amen. Wise in how we go, even as we go out into the world. Do we want to boldly declare truth? Absolutely. But is there a winsome way we can conduct ourselves? That's absolutely true too. Are we always good at it? No. But we should seek to be. And as the Word of God teaches us and encourages us in this way, that's how we should pursue. Okay? And also, as we look at this, I also do think in the case of Philemon, we certainly see that the church is in his home. So we know that he's a fellow laborer with Christ, with Paul in Christ. It's quite possible the term fellow laborer he uses oftentimes in reference to other elders and stuff. So it's quite possible Philemon is even an elder in this church. So the church actually may have, because I think that Archippus is also, because we'll read that back in Colossians, and I'll tell you why. Alright, so now as we look at that, let's head to verse 2. To the beloved Apphia, I believe this to be his wife, that's historically how it's kind of been read, that you're addressing a home church, you're a personal letter to a family, and so obviously if you're having a home church, Apphia would be really paramount in that going well. Mm-hmm. Carrie is, she does so much more for setting up church here in her home than I do. A lot of times I'm just taking a shower, I'm a mess, and I'm going here and there and everywhere, and she's like organizing, doing her thing. So look, our sisters in Christ are fellow servants, co-workers in Christ for the glory of God. All right. And I do believe that Apphia is his wife. So Archippus, our fellow, and it's been speculated. By the way, we don't know every detail. We seek to know as much as we can, right? It has been speculated that Archippus, possibly his son, but I think also what Archippus is probably an elder also. So Philemon and fellow soldier in what? I'd say the ministry. Go back to Colossians 4:17. And then I told y'all we'd be jumping around. I don't think I fibbed to you. And so, look, here we go. In his closing in Colossians. Now, when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, it appears as though Archippus is receiving this letter. Alright? He's also going to hear the letter, because it's not only addressed personally to Philemon, but it's addressed to the church. So he's also going to hear this. So when we go to Colossians 3, we see direct, clear teaching on the subject in Philemon. That is a grace of God. Paul is saying he's equipping the church as best as he can when he's not there. All right. Now, so why do one? This is one of the reasons why I believe that both letters possibly arrive at the same time or sent at the same time. Go, we're in Colossians 4 still. And it will be Colossians 4:7-9. And notice who is delivering the letter. Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. So I would say the news about the imprisonment, and also probably the news that came to him by way of Epaphras, of the nature of the church. So I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. So the church, he's coming with Onesimus, right? And what is a Philemon addressing? The situation between Philemon and Onesimus, a runaway slave, who is one of you. So now, once again, we're knit together. Who is one of you, and they will make known to you all the things which are happening. So already, what Paul is addressing, what he had already addressed as we read through Philemon, that Onesimus is a dear brother now, and may be of even more use and service to you in Christ Jesus, as he's been useful to me. You're actually physically seeing it, because he's delivering something with Tychicus to the church in Colossae. So he's already being shown to be in Christ, working for Christ, for the good of the church and the glory of God. All right. So, interestingly, so the Colossians letter, as imagine Archippus is receiving this letter, he receives it, right? And now, he receives the letter, and he was encouraged to fulfill the ministry that is there, that has been given to him. And so now you go back to Colossians, and what do you read in Colossians 3:18? If you go to Colossians 3:18, you'll see an address. Yep, 3:22. So you actually see Christian, basically how we're to conduct ourselves, right? All right. And then when you come further down, this is in the letter sent. Bond servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service or as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, that you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Isn't that interesting? So, he's broke down our cultural barriers. He's knit them together in Christ Jesus. And he's sent by the hand of Onesimus encouragement to do the thing that Paul's going to request in the personal letter. See how neatly this is, Paul has worked this all together. So, and then afterwards, they're to receive the letter. And so, there are other churches near Lystra, Derbe, which we read this, which was the second missionary journey. Just so you know, Paul's gone all around Asia here, and he may have gone all around. So, it is possible that Colossae was planted earlier, but we don't know for sure. But Laodicea is a near church. So the letter is to be distributed from church to church to church. Mm-hmm. And the problems that one church experiences, maybe not the exact same thing, mm-hmm. but we receive truth in how we can apply it. Mm-hmm. Okay? As the word of God goes out, that churches will be an encouragement to each other and receive the word of God in truth and use it for the good of the church and the glory of God. All right. Just as a side note, we do see here where they meet. They meet in the home of Philemon. So we do know that he is a committed servant to the church. And you never know what the size of a church is, because there was wealthy folks. And there has been speculation that lots of people would have room to house even maybe 100 people because of how they had courtyards and stuff. So it may have been as small as 10. Who knows? We don't know. It's not, but we do know this, that churches, the early church, met in homes. They met in other areas too. So sometimes we have brothers and sisters that are particular home church folks. It's It's okay. It is okay. But I just don't think that it was ever just one area, because we also see them meeting in the synagogues and stuff. So we see them meeting in school in Tyrene. It's presumably not only missionary, but also church meetings too. So I think what God gives is what we have available and we can use for God, and that's what we have. Philemon faithfully using his home because that's what they have available to him. But you can see that if you go to Romans 16:3-5, other passages, Priscilla and Aquila, I think Romans 16 is Priscilla and Aquila, and 1 Corinthians is Priscilla and Aquila. Yep. Priscilla and Aquila and my fellow workers in Christ, this is Romans 16, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their home. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus and the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Romans 16:23. There is another home church that's mentioned in the closing of Romans. Gaius, my host and the host of the whole church, greets you. So he hosts, it appears as though Gaius hosts the church, and Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greets you. All right. Other ones. We obviously had the one in Philemon. Colossians 4:15. The Laodicean church is also mentioned in Colossians. So that's Demas. And that's Colossians 4:15. So the church in Laodicea, which was housed in Demas's home, that's Colossians 4:15, was also received the letter. So we see these home churches that are being used by God, people using their homes, sacrificing themselves, and for the good of God, or for the good of church. And so, now, as we see the final bit, verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As we think about this, what is this but really a summary of salvation? Because here is the truth. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor, right? This is God giving to his blood-bought children the gift of life, right? That's what he's given. He's giving us Christ Jesus, who bears in his body what we rightly deserve, right? And what's that bring? That brings primarily peace, reconciliation with whom? Primarily God, right? Sam's already mentioned it. We move from being enemies, death, hell, and the grave, facing that, and rightly so, to being at peace with God the Father through the blood of Christ, dwelt with his Spirit. Those are for blood-bought saints. And that's how he's referring to. So this church is receiving this and being reminded and given, hey, you have the grace of God. You have the peace of God. And that's how we're to conduct ourselves when we live in this introduction. So we're made alive in Christ and reconciled to the Father. So as we consider the application and we see that, we're set free from the right just condemnation for those who are in rebellion. We're free from it. Now we're made as slaves to righteousness, dwelt in. Now we're prisoners to Christ, as Paul was a prisoner of Christ. So there's a lot of things that we need to ask ourselves as we think about this. Because this is addressing a serious social problem. Okay? So if this is how holy, holy God has responded to you, to me, who claim and are in Christ, how much more should we respond? Amen. Right? So how much more should we be gracious? How much more should we be at peace? with our fellow man, and definitely with our fellow saints. In as far as it depends on us, right? That's scriptural. In as far as it depends on us, that we will be at peace with all, right? So, think about this. This is a huge cultural issue that they're going to probably, that they're going to address. Paul's going to address. Think about this. Do you believe, we as saints, do you believe there is an earthly chasm that is greater than the chasm that God's spanned for us? Right? So when we think about Luke 16 and he's looking across the great chasm, God has brought us, reconciled us to himself in Christ Jesus. Right? He spanned this gulf. And when we think about it, I don't think we really recognize the holy, holy, holy God and where we really are. We think, oh, he went a little way. No, it's a great chasm. If this is a great chasm that can be spanned by God and we're to emulate Christ Jesus, how great should our efforts be to span the chasms and the wrongs at times and the sins against us from others? Right? All right. So, as I exhort you, I think I would say, be gracious. Be peaceful, saints, insofar as it depends on you. Amen. Close with a word of prayer. Father, we come before you and we know that we who have received grace through Christ Jesus, what a gift that is. What you have done, wretched sinners, brought to yourself, is holy, holy, holy. Father, cause us, help us to be of one mind in Christ Jesus, that we would be those people that forgive and seek to be reconciled, that we would be those people that pursue unity in Christ Jesus with our fellow saints. Father, that we would be the people that go out and proclaim your gospel, that you would bring together people of all different backgrounds, unified in Christ Jesus. Father, give us a like mind in Christ. Help us grow in this sanctification, that your people would bring glory to your name. You who are worthy of all praise and glory. You are glorious in all that you are. Merciful, mighty, beyond our greatest imaginations, Father. Help us. We need you and we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.